Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday. We've made it almost till the end of the week, Tori.
We're soldiers.
Yes, December 15th, and we're here. The rest of the country is about to see more wind and snow.
Oh, yeah.
Sub-zero temperatures.
I know. It's about to get Arctic up on your ass.
Now, aren't you happy you're on the West Coast?
Yes, but I'm going to the East Coast for
you
Christmas.
You are, right?
Yeah.
Well, so you're going to get a taste of that one, too, I'm sure.
I'm very nervous.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am. We're going to Cape Cod and then D.C. to visit both the in-laws and my family. And I'm excited, but I'm a real puss about the snow.
Why?
And the cold.
Really?
I've become a real puss.
And you grew up with
it. I know.
Right?
So what's going on? Had blizzards and I was like, fine. So it's just, you're out in LA, your blood thins, I think.
Probably or something like that.
Something happens.
We probably will get a couple drops of rain. That's about it, you know? We don't get lots of weather here.
No.
But it looks like it's probably going to rain today. They said it might in the afternoon.
I saw a dude
with
an umbrella, and that's always my way of knowing because I don't listen to the, I don't read the weather. So I'm excited. I love, it gets you in the mood. You cuddle around the Christmas tree or the Hanukkah.
Yeah, exactly. It puts you in a little mood,
Mood.
A little good mood.
Yes.
I find it when it's dark outside, like, heavy clouds and rain and stuff, it's cozy.
Yeah, I've always liked that. I've always liked it.
Yeah. Nothing like great sex when it rains outside.
For sure. Or just reading a book. I'm so vanilla.
What a difference.
I'm so vanilla. Or reading a book. No, it turns out I'm reading a sex book. I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Really?
The trilogy.
Finally, huh?
And excuse me for anybody, anytime I ever said it was not good.
Really?
Oh, it's so good. I can't put it down. I stayed up till 4 a.m. last night.
Really?
I don't know what it is. She just, I don't know. Very well written. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
It's your schmaltzy.
And you sort of bad-mouthed before you read it, right?
I did because I thought... I thought it wasn't as addictive, and now I get it. And it's really graphic, but it's just like a fun, it's like a romance novel, and I used to love romance novels. It's like a bodice ripper, he's the rich guy who wants control, and he's overbearing, but kind of hot, and it's great.
Yeah, but I mean, how many, how graphic can it get? I mean,
Sam,
in the movie, he was only slapping her and tying her up, so he did her a few times.
I'm talking in the second book, or third book. We're going into things I'm not even comfortable with.
Really?
But I'm comfortable reading about it.
So you're going to get into the second and third book as well?
Yeah, I'm already on the third.
You're on the third?
Yeah, no, I'm on the third.
When did you start reading this?
Like 2 hours ago. No,
serious?
It was like a couple days ago. I can't stop.
Okay, you finished two and a half books. I'm almost finished.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, it gets in graphic, but it does explain a lot of a dominant-submissive relationship, which I didn't know a lot about, and the psychology behind it, and whether or not it's bad for women or not. I mean, they go through all that, but it's like, Christian Grey.
Yeah.
Hello. God.
So, every woman's dream, right?
Well,
money,
it's
handsome.
It's the money. It's like the idea that he can just like pick up and go to Aspen, and like, everybody wants that.
Right, exactly.
So, but he's also, it is fun. I remember in college when I was really depressed, I read like probably over like 40 romance novels because I was really lonely.
Yeah.
And it's like that. It's like an old school bodice ripper, but in that modern days. So it's very a page turner.
Yeah.
So it's good. I was shocked.
Yeah. Right. Well, let me tell you, the movies don't attract me that much, although I saw the first one, it was okay.
Right.
But Dakota Johnson, man.
Everyone's telling me.
She was like the perfect character for this, because she's like innocent.
Yeah, and the problem is that a lot of people thought Dakota Johnson was a little like vanilla or plain.
Really?
And she's not like the most, she's beautiful, but she's not like kind of like gorgeous, what you
expect.
So
the one in the book is supposed to be
gorgeous? No, that's the thing. The one in the book is sort of mousy, and
right,
so it's perfect.
That's what I think.
But I get, a lot of people don't feel chemistry coming from Dakota Johnson.
Oh, I see, okay.
So, yeah. But I can't wait to watch the movies and find out.
Yeah.
I'll watch it in one sitting. Good God, Tori. No, it's they're just a fun read. You know what I mean? They're just fun and addictive.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Okay, well, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's never too late. That's why it's still a number one or whatever for years, you know?
God, E.L. James.
Yeah.
Killing me with that.
Can you imagine just coming out of nowhere and suddenly having such a hit on your hands?
Just a cultural phenomenon. Right. I mean, it's almost like dirty Harry Potter in very different ways. But, you know, both British women coming with these books that just became... it just became part of the norm, so part of our vernacular. So,
oh wow, I didn't realize she was British.
Yes,
that's interesting.
And you can kind of tell a little bit in the way they speak.
Right.
The book is written; you can tell. Like she says, "You're such an arse."
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, okay,
right,
like that's a British thing,
right.
But doesn't bother me.
Now, is he supposed to be British?
No, they're both supposed to be.
So, but they're talking like this, and they didn't fix it for the
not really
U.S.
But there's
market?
Only if you're discerning, you can pick it up. But it's only little bits.
Okay.
But you can kind of pick up the way they speak. Like there's certain sentences, you know. Or and I studied in Oxford. And I'm like, oh, this is where that's coming from.
Right.
But man, the other sex part is universal.
Universal. You don't have to have an accent. For
no.
That, right? Cool.
So embarrassing. Anywho.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for joining us. We have a special guest in the studio. We'll get her in just a minute. And so much for the weather. My brother's out in New York now, and I'm sure they're enjoying the snow.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like New York in the holidays, though, you know, New
York
City.
It is so festive.
Yeah.
Union Square, there's all these tents that pop up with beautiful gifts that you can buy. It's just gorgeous.
Right. And the windows, and, you know, you go window shopping.
God, it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's just that come February, it's all slushy, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
My
Where
new
are
Christmas
the holidays?
Boots are ruined. So it gets a little slushy, but it's magical at Christmas. So is Europe is magical at Christmas.
Yeah.
I was in Italy and Germany and France for Christmas when I studied abroad, and they just light up the whole, every town is just beautiful.
Really?
Oh, magical.
Huh.
Magical.
Yeah. Maybe I should go sometime on the holidays. I mean, I've been to New York during the holidays.
You would love it. Really, it's great.
It. You know what was funny is we flew in on Christmas morning. The streets were empty.
I'm sure.
You know?
I'm sure.
Because we landed like at 6 or something, 7 o'clock in the morning, Christmas Day, nobody in the street.
Nobody, yeah.
And it's so unusual for New York City.
Yeah,
you know?
It's the best.
So it was cool. But it didn't snow that year, so that kind of sucked. Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, because this is like really big, I think. 13,000 men are suing Johnson & Johnson for the bipolar drug Risperdal, which gave them breasts, a condition known as gynecomastia. And
this is Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
they have had some major problems recently.
Really?
Well, they got majorly sued for their baby powder because it can cause ovarian cancer.
Really?
So a woman won like a multi-million-dollar settlement, and then not every woman I know is like, don't use their baby powder, which is their main product.
Right.
But yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, 13,000 people, that's a lot.
That's a class
people.
Action suit right
there.
Right,
exactly, you know?
God,
I was put on that briefly, but I couldn't take it more than a few days, you know?
No.
It was like, it made me like a zombie.
In terms of it made you sleepy or more like speedy?
Like a zombie. I mean,
tired.
No, like, yeah, very sleepy.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah. So it's...
It's bipolar. It's for bipolar?
For bipolar, but I think they call it an antipsychotic or something, you know?
Wow. Johnson & Johnson, they always were like, it's a family company.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is it?
You know? And I can't imagine growing breasts like that. That's awful.
It's very confusing.
Right.
Especially when you're going through psychological trauma of your own.
Right.
It's not easy to deal with.
No, it's not easy
no.
at all. Yeah.
They found a Stonehenge in the Amazon.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
500 years. What was it? This is very interesting, people. It's like 500 years before the first people came. So now they think there was like 10 million people in the Amazon. And before the first Europeans came, way more than they thought. And
uh-huh.
then just disease wiped them all out. But they found this beautiful Stonehenge.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like a bunch of rocks, but all put together. And they did dating on it. And it's like way before Stonehenge.
Really?
So very interesting.
Wow.
Very, very interesting.
Have you been to Stonehenge?
Oh, many times. Oh, yes.
And stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was it cool?
It is cool. It's just like, how did they get these guys here?
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to go on the solstice because June 21st, the sun goes right down on it and you can see it between the two rocks.
Right.
But it's just, it feels very like Lord of the Ringsy, hobbity, like the British right. folklore, and it has a lot of, it has a magic feeling around it.
And you wonder why they went through the trouble, right?
The rocks are just not from there. They're right. hundreds and hundreds and thousands of pounds, and they had to be dragged for miles
right.
and miles
then
and
why
miles.
Would they do that?
And what is know? So significant about that? Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I say it's just aliens.
Aliens, right?
Those British aliens. They love their tea and their stones.
I guess they
tea
do.
Tea
yeah.
and scones and stuff. No, it's a great place, but it, you're baffled.
Yeah.
And some people think it's a graveyard. Some people think it's a burial. Some people think it's a calendar.
Uh-huh.
So it's just kind of a fascinating place to go.
Yeah.
And what you do
true.
Is you just walk around the rocks.
Yeah,
there's
right?
not much
to
do.
There.
But still very cool.
Yeah.
There's no museum or anything. It's just the stones.
Is it pretty tall?
Very.
Really?
And some are on their side. So they were placed specifically in certain places. And then on the two solstices, the sun it comes perfectly between two of the main stones.
Wow.
So a lot of like witches and Wiccans go to Stonehenge on June 21st and they have their Wiccan dance and the sun comes down and it's perfect. That's why people think it's a calendar.
Yeah.
And it's got this kind of mythological feeling to it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool, you know? I wonder if... Yeah, if they do something, we don't. You know?
I know.
How long ago was Stonehenge built?
Long,
you know?
long time ago. Yeah.
Right.
Before they had, like, it was before you could bring something heavy. It was like the engineering taken used to do this was like unheard of.
Right.
So they just don't know how.
Well.
So,
well,
aliens.
Maybe there was a helicopter or something.
I think it might have been a helicopter.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently, but I know she's eager to talk. And we have, beautiful name also, Cynthia Bravo. Welcome to the
mm-hmm.
show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Of course. A name, is this your real name?
That is my real name.
Really?
And I get that asked a lot.
Yeah, I mean.
Bravo is not that common here.
Cynthia Bravo.
Name.
Right, yeah. I mean, I should call myself Sam Bravo. There you go.
We'll
you
be
know?
Family.
It's a cool, yeah, it's a cool name. Wow.
Cool.
How cool is that? So so that's your family given name.
That is my okay. father's last name.
Your wow. father's last name. That's
yeah,
cool.
Now, we have two last names, right, in yeah. Hispanic culture. So that's my dad's last name, and then my mom's last name is Moreno.
Oh,
Moreno.
Okay. So Cynthia Bravo Moreno.
You are correct.
There you go. You see? So you wrote to us. You're originally from Mexico.
I am from
right? Mexico. And how long ago did you come here?
I came to LA in 2011, January okay. 2011. So,
nice.
So
about five years ago.
Kind of new, kind of a newbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But I mean, when did you get a chance to come? You're like so young, or you look young, right?
She looks young, like a baby.
Right?
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
She looks 18 years old. But go ahead. I mean, when we find out how much she's done already,
it's crazy.
It's amazing, you know? So this is cool. You don't have to tell us how old you are, but that's okay.
So when did you come to LA? What was the reasoning?
I came here to do acting.
Oh, nice.
So I was in Vancouver before moving to LA, doing a bachelor in theater. And then I moved here to do a master's in fine arts acting.
Wow.
And then I got involved with producing because I have a bachelor's in business administration.
Jesus.
Yes.
Wow, that's
Cynthia,
pretty cool.
Bravo.
Yeah, bravo, Cynthia.
Yeah. Good one, Sam. Nice one.
Well, this is cool. So you grew up in Mexico. What town in Mexico did you grow up in?
Well, primarily in Morelia,
uh-huh.
which is like 3.5 hours from Mexico City driving. So kind of in the center.
Okay.
It's a small city, like 1 million people.
Okay. So it's not that small, though. I mean, 1 million is still...
Yeah,
I was like, damn.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. Not that small, I guess.
It's more than just a village, right?
Right. Depends on what you compare it to, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what was your childhood like? Do you have any siblings?
I have lots of siblings.
Lots of them. Like,
well,
what, 25 or something?
Maybe. I don't 1 million. I have to ask my dad.
Yeah.
I have two brothers, one older than me and one younger,
uh-huh.
and then I have step sisters.
I have
three stepsisters, but you might be correct in the 25, though.
Really?
I don't know.
You might reach it.
Mr. Bravo.
Yeah, yeah, but dad, he keeps busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, he's kept very busy. Wow, that's cool. And so what would your dad, was your dad doing when you were growing up?
Well, both my parents are entrepreneurs. So
oh, really?
My mom's an accountant, my dad is an engineer. They started like doing construction, then they did their own business, and as I grew up, like they were always like having something business related.
Right. So you had someone to learn from.
Absolutely. Mean, you know. And I was kindly persuaded into business school.
I'm sure. Kindly, air quotes.
Yeah. Very kindly, softly pushed.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad's like, you're going to be a lawyer or nothing. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
so you decided to go to school. What was like high school like for you? I mean, was it like, was there any bullying and stuff? Because I wonder what it's like growing up in Mexico and stuff.
You know, I didn't have any of that.
Really?
Nothing at all. Like, I only saw it in movies.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of mythological.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I didn't see that when I was growing up. I'm sure there is. I was in private schools, but even like in public school, it wasn't before
right.
such a big deal as it is right now.
I know. It's like it only has gotten worse.
It right. has yeah. gotten worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Maybe social media. I have
sure.
no idea. But it wasn't a big issue. Or
right. So were you popular in school and stuff? I mean,
see, that I didn't see either. Like, it wasn't really? Like the cheerleaders group or like the introverted group. I didn't see that.
Really?
Like, I had a wonderful high school. Like, everyone got along with each other. My memories are just like going with my friends or skipping class or like doing something fun, you know, yeah. but nothing like in the movies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And did you study theater in, did your high school have a theater?
Yes, it had cool. a theater program, so I was always part of that.
Yeah, that's me too.
Exactly.
Theater nerds.
There you go.
Totally.
So you wanted to be an actor early on in
yes,
your life?
Yes, since I can remember.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, very cool. So you acted in high school and everything.
I did.
So now when, so you decided to go to college, did you want to pursue acting? And then your parents said no, business administration or?
Yeah, in a kind way. Like uh-huh. in you have to be smart way. Think about your future way. What's stable? So, yes, I was, like, persuaded to go to business school, which I loved.
Right.
But when you have that passion, like you say, like, on the side, I was always part of the theater group or getting classes outside, regular classes, and just doing what I loved.
Right. Which is the way it should be, you know? I mean, do what you have to do and then do what you love, and maybe eventually you love what you do, you
this
know?
This is great, great. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like always have a backup, which is, I'm sure, what the parents were saying. But, right. you know, they allowed you to also do your passion, which is fantastic.
Exactly. And I guess if you love it strong enough,
you can't do anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what happened to me.
You, right?
Yeah, nothing will stop you.
Yeah. Well, so you were in a family with all boys, right? I mean, initially, before
yes.
the step.
From same mom and dad, yes, I have
wow.
two brothers.
What was that like? I mean, did they always, like, give you a hard time? Or
no, it's no? really nice. Like each of us have like 4 or 5 years in between ourselves. So my older brother was always like the older brother. Like if someone were to like bother me at school.
Overprotective.
Oh, no.
That's like Christian Grey. It's back to 50 Shades.
There you are.
Oh, you think like that?
Very overprotective. I highly suggest it. No, but that's interesting. You always get the overprotective bro.
Yes. But then I learned that because then when I had my younger sibling at school, I was like, who's bothering you?
Yeah, right.
You need help?
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so it's kind of like a little chain.
Yeah. Very nice. And so you don't know how many step brothers
and sisters
kidding.
You have?
Yeah,
I have three stepsisters. Yeah.
That's very cool. So, and everybody getting along and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So.
No, we're very lucky.
Very good.
It's all right now, I guess.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, when I was like 9 years old, I remember I used to kick my little brother, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
but it's
really?
Because like, you know, I didn't want him to be playing with my girlfriends, you know, like we would have pajama parties or something and he wanted to be with us. I'm like, no, it's just my friends.
Get away.
Exactly. But I think that happens in every family.
Yeah. So you went to college where in Vancouver?
Yes. After I graduated from business school, it was kind of...
Wait, so where did you go to business school at?
In Mexico.
In
Mexico.
Yes.
Okay.
And when I graduated,
gotcha.
It was like, this is for you guys, for my parents.
Yeah, right now degree. I have to go.
But now I'm going to get my degree. So I moved to Vancouver to UBC. They have a really good conservatory theater program.
Vancouver's amazing theater back. Theater.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
My God. The Canada
wow.
and Vancouver is like very hot.
Yeah.
A lot of things are filmed there. Great,
it's
great
a very
conservatory.
Trendy place.
Very, and the,
yeah,
the conservatory is wonderful.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
really good. Yes. Actually, the one that I got into, they take 12 to 14 students
wow.
per year. So you have to audition and go through all that process. And you are correct. There's a big theater community and culture. Like, I would go to the theater maybe 2 or 3 times a week.
Wow.
And to see something different.
Wow. That's so lovely.
Yes. It's
so
it's
lovely.
Like the Broadway of Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. So you went for a master's degree there.
I went for a bachelor's
there,
but I didn't finish it.
Oh, I
was missing
okay.
1 year when I was like, you know, I want to do film.
Ah,
because I was already doing theater in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm moving so far. I want to do something different.
Yeah.
So I was missing 1 year. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go to LA because...
Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Like film, Hollywood, you have to be there. So then I transferred and I did a master's here in acting for film. And in between semesters, I would take producing and directing classes.
Wow. Very ambitious girl,
very.
Huh?
Very.
Yeah.
Maybe too ambitious.
No. Raised well, but you know, you go... What month were you born?
August.
Okay, you're Leo. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It
I get
matches.
It. Yeah, it matches. Totally. You know, but it's like the fire in your belly just doesn't stop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. For those of you joining us, we're talking to Cynthia Bravo. On your IMDb, you've got like a long list of things, you know, and I don't know when you had a chance to do all this, but we'll talk about that a little bit. So, so now when you moved to LA, did you finish your school here
yes.
then? What school did you go to?
The New York Film Academy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And UCLA for producing.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, so you're obviously a good student. You loved going to school, right?
I do.
Right?
My older brother thinks of me as a nerd.
I was going to say, she's a nerd.
You think so?
She's a hot nerd.
I never think of myself as a nerd because I'm never like spending hours into anything, like reading a book or like just studying. That's what my image of a nerd. But
I
it's
see.
Easy. Like, I would go to class, I get it, I'm out.
Wow.
You know, like,
smart, hot nerd.
Ah!
Are you single?
I'm married, but I'm going to come here more often.
There you go, right? Yeah, all the compliments.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. So you already had a chance to get married, too.
I did.
Wow.
See, like, I have schedule.
She just keeps going. Where did you meet your husband?
Here in LA.
Wow. Was it at in school?
No, it was outside of school, a project, actually. He's a very, very talented cinematographer.
Wow.
So I met him. Because I needed a DP for one of my projects that I was directing. So he was suggested by a mutual friend of us as the best cinematographer.
Wow.
And he is, so I married him.
Wow.
It only makes sense,
only
right?
Only makes sense.
Yeah. It shows you again what happens when you work together with hot people. You know,
yeah,
you got to be very
stop.
Careful.
You can't stop.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a partner in entertainment, have him work only with ugly people.
Seriously,
you know?
I met my husband. He was my producer. I was hosting. Same thing. Same exact thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm in the wrong business,
yeah.
You know?
Go meet a cinematographer.
Yeah, there you go. So, wow, so this is cool. So you went for acting, then you decided I want to do like the business side of this. I want to be like a director, a producer.
Yeah, kind of like that. I'm very like hyperactive. I need to be doing stuff. Uh-huh. So what happened is that in between semesters, I had a lot of downtime. So I wanted to learn more about the industry. So I got into directing and producing classes. So when I got into like the filmmakers workshop, I had to produce my own content. Mm-hmm. And I learned very quickly that producing a film is basically the same as managing any business.
Mm.
You deal with vendors, we deal with a crew, you deal with like personnel,
so
resources.
You brought your business background.
Exactly. So
wow.
That's when everything started clicking and it came out really easy to me to produce.
Huh.
Because in Mexico, I was also working at a hotel and managing a restaurant. So I already had like the background of hands-on.
Sure.
Doing
doing a lot, having a lot of people around and organizing it all.
Exactly.
Wow.
And just having that organization management skills and trying to optimize resources, which is what happens in film and in any industry for that matter. So it came easily to me to just produce. I started producing my own content and then someone else asked me to produce her short film and then that friend referred me to someone else and suddenly someone came to me and say, hey, I have this gig. I'm going to pay you this amount. Would you take it?
Hell yeah, you will.
I was like, what? You're going to pay me?
Yeah, wait, what?
Exactly. It was never in my mind because I was just doing it out of love, out of passion. I wanted to do it. And then someone offered me money. I was like, okay.
Sure.
Then I'm going to charge.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it just came to me like very, very
organically.
Yeah, that's how you go from a hobby to a profession.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Right?
Exactly. Because even now when I take a job, I never think of it as of how much money it is. Of nothing like that. I see it as a story. What am I going to learn from it? What's exciting about it? And then, yeah, the money is on the side because you need it. Like, you cannot deny that. Mm. But even now, like, the projects that I take, I just love them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very
I'm
cool.
very lucky in that side.
Yeah.
Because you need to have some kind of stability to be able to
do that. Yeah. You can't just do that without money and wanting to do the ones you love because you got to eat.
Yeah. No, exactly. So I'm very lucky in that way.
Yeah. Well, this is cool. So Cynthia Bravo, filmmaker from originally from Mexico. So you go by producer. Now, so you direct too?
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to do it more. Right. What I mainly do is produce and act. But yeah, it's on the pipeline. I want to direct my first feature now. Because I've done shorts and like commercials. I've done some commercials directing. I've done some corporate videos too.
Really?
But I
so you started from nothing really, and then you built upon that. Now, did you feel that you had to know special, like you had to build connections in this town?
Yes. I mean, of course, I came with nothing. Right. And now I have a really strong network of people that are very passionate, talented. They like collaborating with us. I love working with them. So it does help, because not only would they refer you to someone else, but when you are in need of something, you know that right away you can find someone.
That's true.
That's
yeah.
how LA works on favors. It's all who you know and who can refer you. It's like, it's crazy how LA works in that way, that if you know someone and you work with them, they'll refer you and you just keep getting jobs.
Exactly. Yeah. Even with my husband, because he works a lot. He's a cinematographer, as I said. So whenever he's like on a project and he knows that they're like
looking for
like a producer or something like on that line, or an actress, or there's a role for me, he always like pushes me.
Right,
and
so
vice
you have
versa.
An insider.
Insider.
Yeah. And same with me. Like when I get on a project, of course, I always bring my husband in either cinematography or gaffer position, because that's what he mainly does. Mm. So right. It does help to know someone.
It's always knowing who you know.
Yeah. It does help. You know, I mean, I must admit that when I need somebody, I always start with people I know. And, you know, and find connections and referrals and things like that.
Yeah, it's always
that.
Referrals out here.
So you got to be out there. You got to make sure people know about you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So now when you moved to L.A., were you, like, did you have any doubts, fears that it's going to be too big for you?
Never.
Really?
Yeah, what scares you? I'm always like, what? Is there anything you don't do really well or naturally?
I'm sure there are lots of
Are
fun.
You good at math?
I am.
Oh, damn it. Damn it.
She went to school.
I know. Damn it. I can't think of anything.
No, I'm sure that there are several things that I'm not good at, of course. But I guess the things that you...
Like chemistry, for example? Can you put like elements
together? Sure, she can.
Well, it's kind of math, right? Yeah.
Chemistry, she has like math. A lab in her basement. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I don't know. Like, those things weren't like hard for me.
Right.
So playing an instrument.
To you.
Okay, playing an instrument.
I've tried it. Like I learned like the notes, and it's so hard for me.
Okay, something.
There you go.
She can't play oboe. There we go.
There, she managed to punch a hole in your perfection.
That's it.
There you go. I have many, but.
Well, so okay, so let's talk about. So, how did you get into your like first project in LA? What was it? Did you start producing right away, or did you start with acting?
I started acting first.
You started acting first. That's easier, right? To get a job?
Well,
no.
So
then
easy.
A producer?
I would think a producer, I don't know. I would think a producer might be easier because you can pick different projects from the ground, but acting, you have to have a project ready for you. Mm. What is it? Is that how you found it?
Well, I started with acting only because I came here for acting.
Sure.
So when I got here, right. That's what I was looking, actively persuading. Right. But I do work more as producer, exactly for the same reason that you have. You can just develop a project.
Sure.
Like if I'm bored, I can write
come
a short and make it happen, you know?
Right.
Whereas in acting, you have to find the role that fits you.
Right.
And then you have to
get
be better than the other 20,000 right. Latina girls that exactly. are exactly out there for the
totally.
Same job. So it's harder, definitely harder.
Right.
But it's also more exciting. Like,
right.
well, if that's what you love. But producing... gave me like a way broader perspective on acting and
right.
an appreciation, because when I'm on set acting, I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity, because I know how many of us are
want
out
that.
There and
yeah,
want it.
Totally.
So you have to cherish it and respect it. And same thing happens when I'm on set and I see someone that's not respecting the profession. I get a little like, oh, why?
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge how lucky you are to be there.
It's like a needle in a haystack out here for us.
That's really true.
It's
you know,
very
I mean,
hard.
It's so hard to get a job acting. And
then you get a call back and you get on a veil and then they still don't give you the job. And you're like, I've gotten so close. And it's just a funny little profession.
Yeah.
But you probably had to be prepared for being cast only in specific roles, right? Because you have an accent and all that, and the look and everything, right? So did that bother you, or were you prepared for that?
No, it did bother me.
Really?
Because when you're an actor, or right. many of the actors that I know, you come with the illusion that you can do anything.
Right.
Like, I want to do anything. You know, I want to transform into any character that you give me.
Right.
But when you get here, you realize that a lot of it is just cast type. You walk into a room, and either you are the character and or you're not. And I've done casting sessions, too. And sadly, I do it, too. Because
it's within seconds.
Yeah, you come, you sit, and you say, that's the one.
That's the one, right. Yep. Exactly. You look for something specific. And, you know, I keep saying this all the time. People should not take it personally when you don't get a role, you know, because you were not what they had in mind.
Exactly.
I don't think it's a reflection on whether you're good or not.
Yeah, and it's like fitting a part in a car. They need this left-handed right tool, and that's the person.
Right.
So you just can't take it personally. But it does become... There's no other profession where you go in for your job interview, there's 15 other people looking exactly like you, but thinner, and you get to hear their job. I can hear through the wall. I mean, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's a tough, you got to be strong, thick-skinned, you know what I mean?
It's like you have to spend time with your competitors there, right?
You have to sit there next to them.
And then you have to be friendly.
And pretend to be friendly with them. Oh, I'll talk to you later, Susie. I hate that, Susie bitch. But it's like that. It's very weird. So are you close with the Latina community, the acting community? Is there a small community, large community here?
I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm not that
active
in it, but it does happen, especially in commercials.
Yeah, where you see the same people,
So you do become friends.
Sure.
And you have to, because then you are booked for the same gig. I've done commercials with someone like me because they're looking for Latina friends.
Right.
So what are you going to do? Like, you're going to be friends. So yes, there's like that competition in the room, but it should never get in the way of actually like getting to know someone, I think.
Right.
But yes, a lot of people also take it personally for the same reasons that you said.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but you also have to understand your limitations.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like with me, for example, when I have an accent like this, I will never be cast as an American actor, you know? And that's the same with you, you know? And some actors know how to do the accent and everything, and they can pass from British to American or Australian to American English.
Yeah, in my acting class at Leslie Kahn, she would teach every single British actor would have to do an American accent.
Yeah.
Every scene they had to do it, because she's like, it widens the amount of roles that you're able to get. But I always felt so bad because I feel like it was whitewashing their background, but they also wanted to be able to do it without the accent, so that they could come up, they have a general, you know, more
exactly
roles.
And besides, remember, as an actor, you're always somebody else
so it was always hard to hear them. They're like, hello. Like, you can still hear the British.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I don't know. I tried to go to like a speech coach,
dialect
For accent and stuff, it didn't work very well. Yeah, so
you have to be constant.
Yeah, you know.
I'm trying it.
Yeah.
Are you? Is it fun or do you hate it?
No, I like it, especially when people understand what I'm saying.
Oh, nice.
But it is hard, right?
I mean, you
have to change the way you speak.
Because I don't hear the same sounds that you do.
Sure.
Like,
right.
As an American native speaker, there are sounds that I just don't hear.
Sure.
Wow. Like they tell me the word, I repeat it, and
you're
in my
still
head
not getting
it's
it.
Perfect. Like right now, I'm speaking like
perfect
American accent. You
exactly.
have no idea.
You can't tell. Yeah, you can't tell. I was born in middle America.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, right? It's Wisconsin.
Well,
but it does limit you. So it's something that you have to work on. I have to work it on, because not only am I competing against all the other people in my same look and range, but I have to compete like for only a specific role. Like maybe there are like, I don't know, 10,000 roles for people in my age range. But then it's only like 1,000 roles that are for Latinas.
Exactly.
And then 100 that are for someone with an accent.
That's
because
right.
I've been in those auditions where it calls for a Latina female like me.
Right.
But it's someone that was born in the U.S.
Right. So you have
from
to
Mexican
change.
Parents.
Sure.
So that means I must not have an accent.
Right.
So there you go.
Can you say like, can you say something without an accent?
If I train it,
yes. Okay.
I have to like get the script and then do the IPA pronunciation and just memorize it like that.
Almost like a song.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, the sounds.
Of,
okay.
So imagine, I mean, that's a time consuming
thing.
Now
she's working doubly hard than I am. You know what I mean? Or triply hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's the language too, not
exactly.
just the accent, you know.
Yeah.
So
and then what
go.
Happens is that, let's say I memorize a word without an accent.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you're in the moment, you have to be able to say it with intention.
Right,
so suddenly
right.
something changes. It's like, whoa, it came out different.
Right.
Then you have an emotion attached to it.
Right. So, so you better freaky. Just so you better focus on things that are more appropriate for you rather than try to get a you know, a role as a blonde cheerleader exactly. somewhere. You
save
know?
Those for me. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Or produce my own content.
That's yeah. exactly right. There you Self-generate.
Go. There you go. And that's what you've been doing. So let's cover that a little bit. What was do you remember the first project you got when you moved to LA?
Big project?
Yeah.
Well, the first feature that I did, yes. It's called Call of the Wolf, which is distributed by Gravitas Ventures. It's going to come up actually this year in like all the outlets, VOD, oh, Amazon, wow. and all those
nice.
Things.
Yeah. Call of the Wolf?
Call of the Wolf.
Wow.
And it was a very, very unique and special project because we, like cast and crew, traveled to Wyoming to a mountain with no internet, no connection with anyone, to do a film. So we were all sleeping at this cabin.
Wow.
For like, I think it was like, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, I don't remember exactly what. But that was the first feature that I did. So yeah, like you always cherish that moment. And it was nice, like being in that location with everyone and right. you get along. And it was just like being with friends mm-hmm. and right. making a movie. Mm-hmm. So that's
nice. That's true. And you were acting in that
one? I was acting in that
one. What's that one about?
It's about like a psychopath that kidnaps two people and puts them in the mountain. And it's just like messing with their survival and with their minds and wow. just like testing them just for fun.
Wow.
So these two characters, okay. I'm one of them, of course.
You're the psychopath right now.
Love that.
Right?
No, they just suddenly wake up in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
One in a cabin and I wake up like outside in the snow.
Wow.
And then we meet each other and we try to figure out what's happening. Who's this guy? How to get out of there? But right. he's a trained guy.
Like, psychological thriller.
Yeah, and he has like a military background. So it's not that easy.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's a horror thriller film.
Wow.
Well, yes.
Call of the Wolf.
Yay.
That's cool.
So when is that one coming out? Do you know?
It's coming this year. I just got an email from the producer saying that it was picked up with Gravitas.
Very nice.
It's great when you get distribution, too. Yes.
Yeah, so we'll have to see you in that one. When was it filmed, though? A few years ago,
right?
That
was a long time ago.
So sometimes they can sit on a film for a while until they get the distribution.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what happened, but what I know with other films is that sometimes, let's say that an agent picks it up, and then you sign a contract with an agent for 2 or 3 years, and if they don't do anything about it, then you're stuck for that amount of time. You cannot close any deal.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Yeah. So I think something like that might have happened, and then they got a new agent, and then right away they got distribution. But during that time, it's like kidnapping the project.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's nothing you can do. So that's why sometimes it takes so long for a film, independent film, to come out.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting stuff, you know. So now, and so you were acting in that one, and then you decided you're going to try and produce too?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you get into that?
Well, like as I said, like it, I started with my own projects.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay, so what was the first one
my
you did?
My first project that I produced, it was my thesis film.
Uh-huh.
And it was based. It is based on a true story about a girl who loses her legs. So it's a short drama. About
How long is it?
10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's called The Caterpillar. So it's just the journey that you go through accepting a loss and having like all your dreams shatter. She's a track runner.
Oh,
and she
wow.
has big goals, like going to the Olympics and classifying and
high
all those
stakes
things.
Then.
Exactly. And then suddenly a car accident that is not even your fault.
Wow. Mm.
And then you have to deal with that new reality that you're faced.
Right.
So it's about that process of overcoming the loss.
Yeah.
So that was the first project that I produced.
Nice. And what was it like? I mean, did you have to do everything pretty much?
Everything.
Everything,
yes.
right?
I did have a director.
Right.
And my now husband, he was the DP. So I had a good support group. But in terms of producing, yes, like finding the locations, casting, getting all the props. And I had like kind of complicated locations because I had driving scenes. I have hospital scenes.
You had a car crash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That we were able to like fake it in post.
Good, okay.
Like just with sound effects and stuff. But still, like it was a little bit bigger than what was needed because it was my thesis project and no one did anything like such big. But I mean, I had the story and I had to go and just do it.
Yeah. And how do you get actors for the movie? Do you just
casting like anything else? Yeah.
Right. And I mean, but when it's a thesis film, do they do it for free?
Yeah.
It's for their reel. They'll get stuff for their reel.
That's true, right? Yeah. So you get other students.
There's a lot of like free work.
So much free work.
Yeah, right?
Annoyingly a lot
it
of
is.
Free work.
Seriously, you go on Actors Access or LA Casting and it's it's like student film, and like you're like, well, no one's gonna show up for this. I'll go in for this. There's like 18 million people,
really?
So people will work for free.
Wow.
It's so competitive. Even that is competitive.
Right.
So you get the best of the best. Yeah.
And even people with resume, I remember
huge
like,
resumes.
At the people
yeah.
that had like TV guest
credits,
and I'm like. Okay. Did you find the place okay?
Here's a bottle of water.
Exactly. But I mean, it is what it is. And yeah, I mean, what I think about that is that when you love it, you love it. Like I do projects for free if I love the project
yeah.
or not. That's I would rather be on
that's
set.
Good. Yeah,
acting
yeah. exactly. They're not doing anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that I think that's the psychological stuff behind it. You come here because you love acting.
The passion's right. there.
Yeah, exactly. And you just do it.
That's true, yeah. So then you move forward. You started taking on more challenging
I did.
Project.
Like, I started like simultaneously acting and producing. Uh-huh. After that, I think that's when I got my second feature film. And then on the side, just like picking up short films and just keep moving. The yeah. first feature film that I produced is called The Last Night In. That's uh-huh. the first one that I took on like full hands on for a feature project, and that's also distributed this year, so it's gonna be out there on Amazon.
The Last Night In?
The Last Night In.
Wow.
Have to check it out.
What's that about?
That's a really cool like different story. It's four stories happening in a motel in LA.
I love
on
stuff
the same
like that.
Night.
I love this stuff.
Yeah. So it's, kind of
it's almost like a play.
Kind of, yeah.
Yes.
That one actually started as
it's
a play.
Usually they do. When you have four stories going on at once in a motel, it's a play.
Really?
Because there's not a lot of movement of change of scenery, so you can do a play of it.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's how it started.
Sure.
So that was the first one that I produced. Really cool. It's just four stories, one place, see what happens.
Love it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really dark.
Really?
She likes these dark horror films.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
And then I did a horror film. That's the last feature film that I worked on. I got another one. But Hide in the Light is another one that I produced, a horror film, that's right now in post-production. But it's getting... I took it to AFM this year, and it got a lot of great response.
Oh, that's good.
So it's really nice. Horror is easier.
Yeah, it is. Easier. Is that when you go home to watch a movie, do you like horror? What kind of genres do you like to watch?
Depends on the mood.
Yeah.
If you have like a really long, tiring day,
yeah.
I just want the romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Or the silly comedy.
Yeah.
I just want to
I always go for the horror.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I don't love rom-coms.
No.
Isn't that weird?
Regardless of the mood?
Regardless of the mood. I don't want to watch very rarely do I want Matthew McConaughey being like, oh, I'll help you up. Now let's get married and fall in love. Like, I like a darker a tale, but, you know, each his own.
Yeah, yeah. So Jennifer Aniston is not your...
I don't watch her in movies. I don't think
don't
she picks good
movies.
No. Friends was fantastic. Who wouldn't want to be Rachel?
Right.
We all got the Rachel cut. But I don't enjoy the little light fluffy ones as much. Yeah, I don't. I need death.
Because many of them seem to be all the same movie.
Yeah,
you know,
very much
right?
so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a recipe for a romantic
the
comedy.
The formula.
Yeah, it's what it is. And when you see it, you know what's going to happen. Like, you can stop it and come back and you know
you
what
still
point.
Know.
Exactly. But, I mean, you're there for the entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
totally.
Just for the ride. Just enjoy it. I'm feeling love. I don't know. Just
for sure. Yeah. Now, so, and what are you working on now, these days?
Well, right now, I just got booked for a feature film in January in the producing side. So I don't know, like, I haven't read the script yet.
All right, when you say booked, are you getting it or do you have an agent? Do producers have agents?
They do.
Okay.
But for me, it's just referrals.
Just friends. Yeah.
Yeah,
or people
friends.
Who know you. I say, I got it.
That he asked me like if I could help him, I said yes. But then I'm producing The Bone Box, another horror film, really good. The Bone Box.
Whoa.
This is about a grave robber who comes to believe that he's being hunted by those he stole from.
Whoa.
But you never
cool
know.
Cool stories, man.
It's really good.
Very cool story.
It's really good. But in this one, you will never know if it's real or if it's all in his head. You know, because the guilt, what can guilt do to you? So it's kind of like that. So that's going to be in March. And then I want to film in Mexico next year.
Oh, wow. Is there a specific script or you just really have a passion for filming in Mexico?
I kind of want to do it.
Yeah.
And I have a script that might work for it. So I might just pick up that one and just take
cool.
it. If not, I'll just find another one. But I want to go back to Mexico. All my friends are there and they're like, when are you going to film? Soon I'm going to come back.
Right,
and film
you got to show off back home
totally,
too,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, you have to do it.
The best. When I do stand-up in D.C., I'm like, yes!
So then you have all your family.
Everybody.
Like extra laugh.
The crowd is much thicker than you normal. You know, it's not just two or three people. Definitely good.
Yes, so I want to do that.
That's nice. Is there a big film community in Mexico?
Not that I know of.
Okay, because I didn't know either. It's not like a Vancouver
type. I think it's picking up.
Okay.
There's a lot of incentives right now for productions in Mexico.
Sure.
And I have a friend that just wrapped her feature film, and I know she had a lot of support from the government, too.
Because they can bring, it brings a lot of money in. If you do tax breaks for movies, like New Mexico and Albuquerque, Reels Channel, when I first worked there, they moved everything to Albuquerque because the tax breaks were so good. So if you give incentive, the money starts coming into the towns.
Yeah, but then you have the issue of the story, because I mean, I know there's a lot of programs, and I know they're not being like utilized, because you still need to have like a good concept.
Sure.
Even when you get the tax credits, you still have to pay back your investors.
Yeah.
So it
adds up.
Yeah, everything adds
That's
up.
That's true. And you have to deal with the financial part of things too, right?
For the projects that I completely produced, yes. Sometimes I'm just hired as a line producer or a co-producer or something in the producing side. So for those, no. On the contrary, I get paid for my job. But for the ones that I pick up, yes, I have to deal with investors and
that's tough,
just
man.
Try to do everything. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Well, a very established woman already. I mean, you know, I'm looking at all the list on IMDb. You guys should check it out. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I haven't accomplished anything.
I do too. Why does this happen to us, Sam?
Yeah.
We always interview people and we're like, well, time to go drink our coffee.
No, I'm sure you have, because that happens to me all the time. You know, like even now, I look back this year and I'm like, oh, what have I done? Like you feel that it's not enough.
Right.
But then this year I worked on a project, really good project that's going to Sundance.
Wow.
So next year I'm going to be in Sundance. So I'm like, okay, no, I did a lot of stuff.
Wow. What's that project called?
It's called Hentified. Really good. It's Hentified.
Oh, wow.
It's about the gentrification of people, of specifically the Hispanic community in LA.
Wow.
It takes place in Bull Heights. It's 10 episodes. No, 10-minute episodes. It's a miniseries with America Ferrera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So will you be able to go to Sundance?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Oh,
I want to be there. I mean, because
so
I'm
cool.
in the episode that's
Come on,
airing.
You got to do it.
Exactly. So, yeah.
You'll find a way.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll be there. We'll so it's cool. It. Like, that happens. You think that you haven't done too much.
And then you look back.
And it's like, okay. Like, I'm not scratching my belly all day.
I think I might be scratching my belly. I think that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Maybe stop the scratching.
Yeah, right. Stop the scratching.
So if people want to see you acting now, are there any films out there that
they
can
see? Yes,
there's
Actor for Hire, which is on VOD. I'm sure like Amazon, iTunes, all those places. The Last Nadine will be up in March. Call of the Wolf is out there too. A lot of like sketches that I do now and then.
Do you have a website?
Oh. Yes, CynthiaBravo.com.
Okay. Oh, good. Good name. That's CynthiaBravo.com. Very good name.
Yes.
There you go. You didn't give me that one. I should have guessed, though. but you can find out more about her on IMDb and also, of course, CynthiaBravo.com, right? How can people get a hold of you? Social networks, things like that?
Well, I'm not that active.
You're not that active.
No, we found her weak spot.
The weakest, actually, because I try to, but I haven't been so active. But I do have, like, Instagram is Hey Cynthia Bravo. Twitter is the same, Hey Cynthia Bravo. And then my production company, Glicks Entertainment, which is another way to reach us, too, glicksentertainment.com.
Right. Yeah. And make sure you type in Cynthia Bravo, not Bravo, because it won't work. It's got to be Bravo.
Bravo.
Yeah, you have to say it with the accent. You have to type it with the accent.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
will know it all. They will
Bravo.
Know you don't have the accent.
My husband can't do the R thing, so he goes, Bravo. It's very sad.
Very cool. Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
it's
having
really
me.
Much continued success to you. Very impressive.
It's so good to see a woman like that and someone not from America breaking all the boundaries. So
thank
exciting.
You.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It.
And you always come. Welcome back to show us more of your projects and everything else. That'll be cool.
Thank you.
Call of the Woo. Okay.
And that's the one you like the most.
I like it. I like it.
There
nice
you
psychopaths.
Go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tori, thank you. As
Anytime.
Always, see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.